Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Folks, Von Brasher is back with us, and we're talking about the second book in the Ancient Wisdom Scrolls series, and it's Lucid Dreams. We are going to have a lot of fun talking about lucid dreaming and learning like the ancients learned on the scroll. The information shared on Get Over It uses pragmatic and intuitive insight to help you shift your energy and your consciousness to break through the blocks that are no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that's been holding you back. But you guys know I always ask, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. A bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com. And I invite you to like me and follow me on Facebook and LinkedIn, no longer on Twitter, so don't go there. My guest today, Von Brasher, is back. Now, he was on a little while ago. You can check out the first interview in the Ancient Wisdom Scrolls series, and that's posted on June 10th, 2023. And that was Past Lives. And today we're going to talk about lucid dreaming. Von lives off the coast of Washington State, and he has written many books on consciousness, and he is part of the Theosophical, I can't say that, say it for me, Von.
Theosophical.
Thank you. Theosophical.
Based on the wisdom of the goddess Sophia, of course.
Okay, society. So, hey, she's here, he's here, and let's get this party going here. Von, thanks so much for sending the second book, Lucid Dreams. They are absolutely fantastic. Every time that you open the scrolls and you begin to read, it's like you're magically transported back in time. And I think this is really key for the lucid dreaming book. Why lucid dreaming? How did you come up with that subject matter to explore?
Well, thank you, Monique, and thanks for having me back again. I think it's the most important thing the person is likely to do in their everyday life. It is lucid dreams are not common dreams. They're not stress dreams. They're the soul or the spirit or the inner consciousness, if you will, leaving the body and exploring and discovering. It is an important part of life to go to sleep and have a lucid dream.
I agree. And my lucid dreams, and I'm hoping other people's too, I don't want to be completely weird, is that I feel as if I am truly there. And sometimes when I wake up from the dream, I actually go and check things to see if everything is okay or not. Now, was that a lucid dream or was that me reacting?
Oh yeah, and I think that's a very wise approach. I always encourage people to try to place themselves there, establish that they are truly there, establish that you're in control of the dream. That's an important part of lucid dream. Establish that it's colorful and vivid and impactful, that you are one of the characters, not all of the characters. That you are truly you truly sense that you are there in the sense that you have greater awareness. You're keenly aware of everything that's happening. This is this is I like to say that a lucid dream is more than a dream.
It is because it takes you to a reality that you can truly explore as opposed to, just some light, if you will, dream and people or yourself or not doing things the way I guess that you would want to do it. So why don't you share with us the history of serious dream work? There are a few people out there that really are into some serious dream work, not the old thing when my mom was younger and she had a dream book. And a dream book, if you drop off a dog, it meant one thing and then it had a series of numbers behind it. So talk to us about the seriousness of it.
I do discourage people from dream dictionaries. You're the best interpreter of your own dream in any regard. But the history of dreaming as serious dream work is very ancient, and it's very significant. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about it, because usually people just want to talk about their dreams. But it goes back at least to 3000 BC or even earlier. We know that there were recorded dreams in ancient Sumer. There were dreams in Mesopotamia, Assyria, Babylonia, all of the Akkadian civilizations of that area. The kings in Mesopotamia, they used dreams to guide them. They built their temples based on what they had dreamed, instructions from dreams. We have the Akkadian Epic of Gilgamesh, which were a series of prophetic dreams, travels to other realms and meetings with deities. And this is a common theme that dreams of this sort would be treated as divine revelation, prophecy, even healing experiences, and of course, windows to the soul. Now, the Assyrian king built a temple to the god of dreams. The Babylonians cataloged their dreams for prophecy and direction. But the Egyptians, as early as 2000 BC, began to record their dreams on papyrus leaves. So, these are the first recorded dreams. And they believed that the dreams were oracles and messages from the gods. So as a result, they took special steps to induce vivid dreams and provide them with that sort of thing. Now, the Greeks actually went a bit more down that road. They produced the first dream book in the 5th century BC, and they believed in what we call the Morphic Mysteries. The god of dreams would visit them, and they actually had dream temples, where you would go in and someone would assist you in having a very impactful, meaningful, vivid, lucid dream. And we have the Greek father of all healing, Hippocrates. He said the soul receives messages during the day, but produced images during the night during a dream state. And then the Greek philosopher Aristotle, he said that dreams could predict and even diagnose sickness. So then we get into Cicero, the Italian, and I think that this is really significant for me. He said that all dreams are produced by human conscious thought and result in visions of an insightful nature. Hear, hear. And then, it goes on, in early China, they believe the soul was freed to travel during a dream state. Much the same in early India, the soul departs the body during a dream state. Early Welsh history, much the same. They believe that you travel in time during your dream state. Of course, the indigenous American tribes believed in the dream walker. And Mexican natives believe the dreams represented a portal for contacting and visiting ancestors. So this goes on and on. You see it in Judaic, Christian, Islamic, Buddhist, Hindu cultures. Now, the early Jews, of course, we have the story of Jacob's ladder. There were many significant dreams in the Bible. St. Jerome, St. Augustine, heavily influenced by dreams in their lives. Then we had the Protestant Reformation and the Catholic Inquisition. And they said that the dreams were of the devil, the work of the Prince of Darkness. And the Renaissance came and rescued dreams for Christianity. And then we have this period of all this, these painters like Gauguin, Rousseau, all of these who believe that Salvador Dali, Goya, Picasso, they painted dreamers, and they thought the dream was an important portal that would provide insights. So, you know, then we have psychology getting involved, Carl Jung, you know, the Great Awakening. I think that if you look at the history of dreams and dream work, people have always been guided, always been directed, and sometimes had divine revelations in their dreams. They've had great insights to the, you know, the soul and their inner self. They've learned more about themselves, you know, their shortcomings, their dreams, their goals, their mission in life. People have visited exotic places. They've gone to the future. They've learned to prophesize through dreams reliably. Dreams are a lucid dream is a very, very special thing. It's not like a common dream at all. It is the soul leaving the body to explore.
Now, in your scrolls, you say that you can program a lucid dream. How do we do that? I mean, if you're sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you bring up a good point. Most people, they have these common dreams, and they're like dreams of a stressful night where the body is not really asleep and it's not really, you know, awake either. You're just tossing and turning in bed. And moreover, your physical mind hasn't been put to sleep. It is restless, and you're tossing and turning, and you're kind of flipping through all these memory banks in your mind, things that have kind of bothered you during the day that you can't resolve. And they continue to bother you during this period where you're just quietly, let's say not really asleep, but quietly reflexive, you know, reflective. And in this reflective mode, we have the nightmares, and we have the tormenting dreams where we try to resolve these questions of the way things have gone. And it's the analytical mind or physical mind that won't let go. The trick is then in programming a lucid dream is to totally put the body to sleep, you know. And I do this, I advocate using self-hypnosis. You know, you will your feet to go to sleep, your legs, your torso, your arms, your chest, all the way to the top of your head. And you tell it to go to sleep and tell it it's heavy, it's numb, it's at rest. And then you must reach an inner harmony with yourself, you know, realizing the holistic property of people, that we are body, mind, and spirit. You must actually have the agreement of your own analytical mind to just for a little while shut down. And it is so important that the physical mind, the physical brain will then go to a deeper sleep mode. Because if you don't do that, it's going to continue to get in the way. Once you've done this, you know, then your inner consciousness, your spirit, your soul can come forward and actually have a dream. Now, I'm working on a new book that'll come out in about a year called Programming Lucid Dreams. I think it's so important that to have a handle on your dreams if you're going to do dream work, so that your dreams that are truly lucid aren't just accidental, coming now and then, moments when the spirit longs to be free and leaps out and says, "I'm going somewhere tonight," and it takes you along. And first of all, you have to put yourself totally asleep. Then you have to put the analytical mind to rest.
Okay. You know?
And then you have to actually visualize where you want to go. Now, any kind of a important journey we take, you know, requires a plan. You need to have an agenda. Where are you going to go? You know, and what are you going to do? And what do you expect to experience there? So you actually have to envision all of this. And what I advocate is that you picture that in your mind, before your mind's eye, this clear tablet, and you begin to draw or paint a picture of where you want to go and what you want to see. And you picture the time period, you picture the location, you picture the events, maybe the people who were there, and most importantly, what you expect or hope to learn. And then, you know, then you prepare yourself to leave the body, knowing that your physical body and your mental, your physical mind is at rest and safe. And then you bring that tablet that you've drawn before you, and it becomes a perfect map to take you exactly where you want to go.
So let me ask a question about that, though. What if you want to explore another world and you haven't been there and you don't really know anything about the particular world? Do you talk or think about what you want to experience?
Yeah, so exactly. So, you know, that you're not limited. This is the beauty of a lucid dream. You're limited to go anywhere and any time that you choose. Exotic realms, exotic worlds, you know, subtle energy planes of existence, parallel worlds, you know, distant planets, if you will, the past, the future. It makes no difference. And you don't have to have a frame of reference. You know, you just have to draw, you know, the intention and the desire of wanting to go there. And this can be a very sketchy outline of an agenda. Doesn't matter. You'll follow it because it's your game plan. It's your map. And you set your own parameters of where you want to go and what you want to experience. Now, you might fumble around a little bit, and because if you don't have a frame of reference, you know, if you want to go somewhere quite exotic and quite distant, but you know, anything is possible in a lucid dream. And so I advocate putting the body and mind totally at rest, reaching this inner harmony where your mind will allow your inner consciousness to come forward and leave the body. And then visualizing where you want to go with the intent of actually using that as a map to take you there. You know, we have all this rich history of dream work in the past, from past civilizations. We know this works. We know that you can actually program your dreams. They would induce their dreams, the ancients, they would induce their dreams. And they wouldn't just hope that Morpheus would take them there. You know, they had expectations. They had a desire and intent to learn in their dreams. You know, the great kings of Assyria and Mesopotamia, who would want some direction in their lives, would go into an induced dream looking for direction. You know, so I guess what I'm saying is the most important thing you're going to draw on this tablet during your visualization is intent.
Okay, so is it possible to inadvertently send yourself to a lucid nightmare?
Oh my gosh. I I suppose inadvertently, then that would not be such a lucid dream. And I'm going to have to say, no, that's once again a common restless sleep dream. Or a stress dream, if you will. Dreams are usually something that happens. Nightmare dreams are usually something that happens during restless nights with stress.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering because, you know, sometimes you'll have a dream that something has happened to a family member and it seems so real to you in the dream that when you get up or when you wake up, you go and check on that family member to see if everything is okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of examples of how people from Native Americans to other civilizations, the Mexicans, would typically visit ancestors in dreams. So they would talk to the dead, right? Mm-hmm. So that could be a little dark, you know, but that would be with the intent that you want to speak to the dead, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about shared dreams? A long, long time ago, I've got two sons and they were little and we all had the same dream the same night. It just blew me away because I didn't at the time think that was even possible. So talk to us about shared dreams and the benefits of those.
Yeah, I do cover that in lucid dreams. I think it's entirely possible to experience the same dream as someone else if you both, particularly if you're very well connected. It would be like a family member, a sibling, a child. It would be maybe a spouse, a loved one, certainly a twin, you know, a twin flame, you know, I've done that, you know, someone you're very, very close to, you know, and in that sense, it's easier for you to dream. Now, once again, you want to really do this reliably well, you'd want to both program the same dream to have the same dream at the same time. So you agree in advance that you're going to induce a lucid dream with the following expectations and agenda, and then you find yourself there. And you can link a dream link in that way. Now you could also dream link with a group of people, of course, and that has been done, but reliably would be with one other person. And the value of this, of course, as you well know, Monique, is that you can actually get together later on and confer notes as to what you dreamed.
Mm-hmm. And it's so amazing how real it is. You know, I mean, everybody is truly there.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody is truly there. And you've seen it and you've experienced it. So you get together later on. You get together later on and you go over the dream and you analyze it, you know. So I think this is very important because ultimately when you return from any dream, and a lucid dream is maybe a better example of this, is that you're going to want to try to analyze it. Now, you know, what you typically will want to do is go into a light meditation where you're lying quietly then in bed and you're kind of absorbing it without thinking too much. Uh-huh. Without trying to, particularly trying not to involve the analytical mind because it was never there. And you're just kind of let the dream wash over you. And I call this internalizing the message. It's just letting it just sink in and absorbing it. And in this period where you're a little bit awake and a little bit asleep, this meditative state here, reflective nature, this is an opportunity to share information between your inner consciousness, which has just experienced this impactful dream, and your analytical mind, which is now kind of coming into the picture, but not grabbing hold and seizing control. And so it becomes aware, you see, informed of the dream. And then once that happens, once you feel that you've actually absorbed the dream, then you can get out of bed, sit at your nightstand, if you will, and write in your dream journal. You can begin to analyze the dream intellectually only then.
So is it possible to change your existing experience on Earth through dreams and programming the lucid dream for what you want to have happen? Or would that be somewhat of a violation of what you agreed to come here and do?
Oh, I think you've really touched on it. Good one, Dr. Chapman. Yes, yes. That is it. That's the crux of, I think, what you want to experience in a lucid dream. You want to find out who you are, why you're here, and what you should be doing in your life. And this is something that's known not to your analytical mind, because this is the storehouse of memories that you physically observed in this common everyday work, eat, sleep world of yours, with very little time for great reflection. It is the province of your inner spirit, your inner consciousness, which is eternal, which precedes you and will continue after your physical life here is ended. It is your conscious connection to all that is and ever will be. It is knowledgeable of who you've been, who you are, and why you're here. It knows the past. It knows the future. It is the part of you should be listening to. So yeah. So I think that letting your spirit free to roam during a lucid dream is the greatest thing that a person could do. Now, there are all ways to have a lucid dream. You can program a lucid dream to happen just the minute, you know, your eyes are beginning to sink away. You can program your dream just as you're going to sleep. And then, of course, your body is completely at rest. It's going to be the most restful night your physical body and mind have ever had. You could do this during a waking dream. You could do it, you know, sitting in a chair, you know. Some people call this meditation, by the way. You could do this lying on the sofa, you know, in what's often called a daydream. You know, it doesn't have to be at night when you're sleeping, but this is the most ideal setting.
Okay, so you brought up something, the daydream. Now, is the daydream just something you fall into because for whatever reason you're not wanting to pay attention to your reality at that moment?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Okay. So when we prepare for the dream, we're preparing for the journey. What type of protection, if any, do we need to surround ourselves with to make sure that we don't veer or listen to a voice that's not for our highest good?
Yeah, I mean, this is important. You have to be totally in control of the dream. And this is what I advocate for programming lucid dream, is that they don't accidentally happen. You don't just slip away. Someone doesn't grab you and pull you away. You know, be in control of your life, you know, and no one wants to be more in control of you than your inner self, that self, that hidden self of you that we typically ignore and tuck away. Your inner self is fully capable of making this journey on its own. So you want to provide yourself, first of all, with a very safe and quiet place where the body is going to be, let me give you an example. Now, in India, they have the Samadhi mystics. Samadhi mystics have great out-of-body learning experiences. They're very deep thinkers. They're very serious meditators. They take their young, and the first thing they do with their initiates is to teach them how to have controlled dreaming, you see. And what they'll do is they'll have these great out-of-body lucid dreams where they'll go somewhere, which they've chosen, you know, and mm-hmm. and they'll be gone for a long, long time. And what they do in this setting, in Samadhi mysticism, is they'll have, just like the old Greek dream temples, they'll have attendants or monitors that'll be with them to make sure they're safe and they're well guarded. Now, I think it's been about a decade ago, but there was a great tsunami that hit southern India and Indonesia. And during that time, there were Samadhi mystic students who were involved in these lucid dreams. Mm-hmm. And the dreams were so intense and so absorbing that, you know, they couldn't get them out of the dream, you know, to say, let's go, we gotta, you know, get on your feet and run away. There's a tsunami coming. They actually picked up the bodies, carried them to a safer place, and their attendants continue to monitor them in another location. They were therefore gone for a long, long time. Now, I did this sort of lucid dreaming with a group of people I had once in a workshop, and it was incredible because they were from all different backgrounds. And some of them said, oh, I don't believe you leave the body. And I said, you're going to have a wonderful experience. You know, you're going to have a terrific, you know, no, it all happens inside your head. I said, whatever, you're going to have a great time, you know. And the final day, it was a 5-day thing. You know, I sent them all, you know, I programmed them all to go wherever they wanted to go. Before that, I had suggestions, and I said, there's only one thing that's going to take you out of it, and it's this. and they were gone. They were so gone. It was like, wow. It was so gone. You know, so I went outside and I walked around, you know, I climbed a tree, I went to the lake, I went kayaking, I kept checking in on them. Hours and hours they were gone, and it was time for dinner.
Wow. And
I said, okay, you can come out of it now. Nothing. And I started to worry. And there was somebody recording this. I mean, how do you record a dream, right? But he's recording it. And he said, And I said, come, let's go. Said, oh, my gosh, there must have been a prompt. And I said, and everybody's their eyes open. I said, have a nice trip. I mean, they were gone for hours. Wow. So it's not hard. I mean, we had everybody from a real estate salesperson to a dentist to, you know, somebody who wrote, you know, who was a writer. I mean, we had all different kinds of people, and they all did this. There was one person who had been in a monastery for years, and he said, I don't believe in this out-of-body travel. And he said, wow. And he said, oh, my gosh, you would not believe where I've been. I said, well, this is your personal inner experience. You don't need to tell me.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, too. These are intensely personal, insightful moments during a lucid dream. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be able to look them up in a dream dictionary and say, what did the cigar mean? come on, you know, and. The other thing is you're going to see people in these lucid dreams that may not be in your everyday physical world unless you have programmed them to be there. You see, because these are real. You know, these are not like highly imaginative moments. You know, it is not an exercise of your imagination. You know, it is, in a sense it is. It is engineering your outbound reality, but it is, you know, you're going to see things that are quite exotic.
Yeah, you're truly tapping into the soul.
Yeah, you are, and you know, there are realities within realities, and most of us are not aware of this, but there are subtle planes of existence. There are alternate universes and worlds. There's the past, there's the future, there are worlds that are cast in yellow. There are worlds that are cast in orange. And people will say, oh my gosh, I dreamed of a world and everything was kind of blue. You know, mm-hmm. And I said, wow, that must have been so peaceful. I mean, you know, you're going to go to places that are not like this physical world.
And have a lot of fun.
You know, yeah.
Be so much fun and so much to discover. You know, Vaughn, I really enjoy talking to you, but our time has come. Could you leave the audience with a pearl of wisdom?
Oh my gosh, I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. Keep dreaming. You know, that's the most important thing. Everybody's got to sleep, but everybody's also got to dream. And actually begin to look at your dreams we call it dream work, but think of how restful the body must be to experience this intense dream dreamscape that we're talking about, and how impactful and meaningful it will be for you to experience these things. It's a great spiritual awakening.
Yes, and I call it soul work, because that's what it feels like to me, working with the soul. Well, Vaughn, thanks so much for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I know the audience appreciates it. Also, an audience, I do appreciate your time and attention. And everyone, please remember that the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of discovering lucid dreams. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Agape.